This is Screen Divers. On this week's episode, we'll be talking about The Sixth Day, directed by Roger Spottiswood and starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Michael Rapaport, Tony Goldwyn, Michael Rooker, Sarah Winters, Robert Duvall, and a bunch of other people, including Terry Crews. The music in this movie, featuring this movie, is by Trevor Rabin. The production companies involved in this monstrosity are Phoenix Pictures and Columbia Pictures, but the movie was distributed by Sony Pictures. Anyway, this movie was released on October 28th, 2000. It has a running time of 124 minutes.
Oh, it was so long.
For a ludicrous 82 million, and it made 96.1 million. Now, disclaimer for this episode. In a previous episode, I have claimed something. I have said that you can put Schwarzenegger in everything and it will make money. Technically, this movie regained what it made. But we need to talk about a bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, before we go any further, Ricky, what's this movie about?
Hello. This movie is about a gentleman who is a pilot who somehow is cloned. And once he is cloned, he gets to go to his house and goes, "That is not me. Oh, what's he doing with my wife and my child?" And that is the film.
Yeah, that is the film. Nutshell.
Man, Michael Rapaport and Arnie being peeping Toms.
Oh, Arnold. God.
Arnold watching Arnold fuck his own wife.
No, he doesn't. No, it's Michael Rapaport who does that. He's in the house dealing with Michael Rooker and
but
others.
He gets the commentary for Rapaport to try to be. But we get to that. We're going to get to that. That's a minor. Was it Atlas? Was it Atlas that carried the world on his shoulders?
Yes.
Because every statue or every depiction of Atlas from now on should have Robert Duvall's face on it. Because he tried to carry this entire fucking movie on his shoulders. He's the only one that manages to act in a believable manner. But this movie is a disaster. It is a disaster from beginning to end. It was a disaster when it was released as well, because when I screen dived today, I did a little bit. I thought, I'm not going to put too much effort in this, but this movie received 3 Razzie Award nominations.
3!
Yeah. Schwarzenegger got it for Worst Actor. The Worst Supporting Actor went to wait a second, dude. It's a funny way in which they issue them. That's an accolade. So they gave a Razzie Award to Schwarzenegger for playing Worst Actor as Real Adam. Then they issue another one for Worst Supporting Actor as the clone of Adam. And then they issue another one as Worst Screen Couple. And that is Schwarzenegger as Adam and his clone. So they got all 3 nominations but lost all 3 to Battlefield Earth.
Oh, well, there you go. No wonder nobody talked about how bad this film is if Battlefield Earth was released the same year.
Same year.
What can I say, man? This movie is a mishmash. This movie feels like, and I think I tried to explain or articulate my thoughts well enough when I was the one that threw it in there, and I hope it came through to you guys, because I'll try and do it again. I think 2000, not even the entire decade, right, from 2000 to 2010, but the end of the 90s and 2000 kind of struggle when it comes down to division between the two. And you could argue that the end of the 80s, it's like that period between a decade and another. I think the one that did it best, the transition was phenomenal in movie making, in every medium pretty much, was between the 70s and the 80s. The end of the 70s was already the 80s. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it just felt that way. Look at Alien. You know what I mean? But, and here's the kicker. In this one, this is the most accurate representation of what I was trying to articulate last time we talked about this. And I'll try again with the same analogy. if you look at televisions, if you look at appliances or whatever, there was a moment in 2000 where everything was fucking silver plastic. Everything was like silver plastic. It had like all the, from an aesthetics point of view, everything was kind of rounded. The corners were rounded. Like it's, there was very few sharp edges, even in cars. Like, which, by the way, one of those cars that was just launched, or it was kind of all the rage, was the new Beetle, which obviously this movie takes part in the future, that takes place in the future. So the Beetle's meant to be a beat-up old car because 20 years have gone by, right? And one of the most terrifying realizations that I had is that technically this movie seemed like it was taking place in the 2020s. Just by the state of that car alone. Going back to the feeling that I got from this movie, from an aesthetics point of view, it looked like everything that was in video games, that was the color of your Discman, the frame around your television, like everything kind of aged. Once it went past the 3 or 4 year period, they just aged and we changed everything. And that's why this movie feels super fucking dated. Super dated, not to mention, they threw so much at this and nothing stuck. They threw The Matrix at this. They threw Tony Hawk and they threw Extreme Sports and they threw, I mean, the guy that shoots Trip, man. His name is fucking Trip.
Yep.
It's...
I'm just going to let you know into a little bit of a nugget on this. According to the DVD featurette, this film is set in 2015.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But it's funny also, everything you just described, the first music video that flashed in my head when you described that, which I've probably mentioned before on this show, is Babylon Zoo's Spaceman.
Can you trip like I do by Filter? There was a breakbeat in this that is right out of the Prodigy from Jilted Generation.
That's really interesting because it was 1990. That sort of stuff was actually the mid 90s. So from 95 to 98 was when we were getting these weird videos where everybody was donned in silver reflected materials. Even the Spice Girls were donned in silver reflected materials. And it was the mid-90s that overdid it. It was actually the 2000s where you had your, like, weird, like, everybody wanted those, like, rubbery cat suits. That,
Trinity was wearing in The Matrix.
Or even thinking back to it, like, Britney Spears on that weird... music video where she's wearing a red cat suit and it's all rubbery, and then it moves on to Poison or whatever it's called. Oh, there's so many terrible 2000s where it was the mid-90s that overdid that whole, like, chrome. Everything got to be chrome.
Yeah, absolutely. And, mate, another
shiny
thing as well.
Chrome.
Shiny chrome.
I watched Fury Road with Arnold. That's bait. It looks like this movie was made by a panel of people in their fucking 50s in 2000. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, they thought, okay, this is what kids like. And we fucking
throw
everything at it. Even the vehicles in it. You know that PlayStation era where you had sims, like driving sims, but they weren't cars. It's a helicopter, it's got thrusters. It's like fucking... But, mate, all of this kind of faded. As you're watching the movie, you settle for that. Okay? The biggest problem here, it's just the way the movie is made. The movie is catastrophically badly made. Like, it's a fucking horrific piece of cinema. If you put me in a room, if limbo was such a thing and I was trapped there, and the only two options were Mystery Man and Six Day,
you'd go for Mystery Man.
I would ask for like, I'm telling you, I would ask to be relegated to that room with Mystery Man. If the other option was to live in a hell or whatever else, another plane of existence where that movie existed in my afterlife. Because I would see it as a reward for this movie to be erased. Sorry, another... Put it this way. If I lived and existed in this universe where this movie took place, I would clone myself and I would request for my syncording to happen before I watched this movie. Do you understand? So that I would have no recollection of having watched this piece of shit. Because anything from the transitions in this to the way it's edited, the movie is a fucking disaster. It almost breaks the narrative. The way it's edited is so unsettling. And the dialogue is atrociously bad. Atrociously bad. There are glimpses of something that could have been great because a lot of money went to making this, man. And I wonder how much of this was Arnold's paycheck. Because, Steve, ask your question, man.
We haven't asked the question.
Yeah.
So, guys, what was your first experience of watching this movie?
Fucking late. I did not go and see this in the cinema. I did not give a shit about this. I think the first time I saw it was when it was on terrestrial TV with all the adverts. And I enjoyed the adverts more than I enjoyed the movie.
I paid my £5 to watch this in the cinema.
Ew.
A testament to the fact that you can be a tasteless piece of shit.
Come on.
I love
dude.
You. No.
Right.
No.
You go and
no.
2000s, somebody says, do you want to go see a Arnold Schwarzenegger sci-fi movie?
Yeah.
And you went, yeah, fuck, let's go watch this. And then you watched it and you went, what a pile of shit. Fuck you.
So, listen to me now. If someone
I would have said,
someone asking me to go watch this movie in 2000 would have been the equivalent of an acquaintance asking me to help them move. Do you understand me?
Dude, without context, if somebody turned around and said, do you want to go see an Arnold Schwarzenegger science fiction movie? Would you say, yeah, especially in the 2000s?
No, and I'll tell you why.
We didn't have, like, the trailers looked okay at the time.
Well, I don't know why, but first of all, I'm about to drop a bomb here. Okay, can I say bomb? Can I say bomb?
No.
You can't say a bomb. But okay, as long as you don't say a
figurative
bomb.
A figurative bomb in Minecraft.
Okay. No. This is there will be detonation. I have never watched this movie in its entirety before 2 days ago.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Which means I was tempted because Steve came over. We watched it here. Sober. Stone after last week's incident. Stone sober. Stone sober.
Yeah.
And I was considering moving. Not just leaving my own home and leaving you here, but just moving. Moving. Like I pictured myself, the kid that runs away from home with the stick and just running away from home, leaving my phone behind, leaving all my ideas behind,
and your bottle of water,
and fucking just leaving you here. That's it, and disappearing, just leave a life where the trauma of this has caused. Like you understand, like a radical change. I was thinking about, and the thing is, as I was creating this alternate universe, this movie kept pulling me back in. And I had to endure it. So I couldn't keep fantasizing about this. No, every single time something so fucking terrifyingly awful happened, and it dragged me back in. However, did we have fun watching it? That's the question, right?
No.
I didn't either. So I fucking hated it. I hated it so much. But it was, I mean, there was a couple of things that were amusing in particular. There's an indelible memory burn of Arnold holding on for dear life to his own leg. There's so much. I just don't understand how, you know, making a movie is such a difficult and complex process, and so many people are involved, And again, this is another instance in which even back then in 2000, nobody fucking put their hand up and went, don't fucking do that. Please don't do that. Or do you want to do this again? Because it seems that every bit of acting in this is one fucking take. And they just went, cut, that's fine.
Yeah, that's done.
And you know what? We checked. Can someone check Roger Spottiswoode's pedigree? Look at his body of work.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Roger, if you're still around, you're a piece.
Look, he was the writer for 24 Hours. But
as a director, directing are two fucking different things.
As a director, one of my favorite films that I feel like we need to do on the show, Turnaround Hooch.
Mate, it's one of my favorites as well. Yeah. But that
Air America. Stop or My Mum Will Shoot.
Yeah, I did see this, okay? But you got to remember one thing, that there's a lead in this that has a ton of screen time. Arnold plays two roles in this. He's almost in every frame, dude. And here's the kicker. What does Arnold need more than any other actor?
A weapon.
And it's good direction. He does. And that's what made him a star. Because if he didn't have good directors, listen to Cameron, listen to all the experiences that... And Cameron is the one that really knew how to handle him. But the idea is, you can't fucking let Schwarzenegger do one take. And I think Spottiswoode, by this time, he was worried about the entire piece, right? As he probably looked at this like as the whole project. But the thing is that what really destroys this movie, besides the terrible editing, and we didn't mention it, but there's three people. This movie was edited by three people, mm-hmm. which means they got hired and fired. For sure. There's Michael Arcand, Mark Conte, and Dominic Fortin. Not to mention the fact that two production companies probably put money in and pulled out. And then to have Columbia Pictures producing this, they would probably distribute the movie, right? But then they decided not to. It seems to me, I didn't even check, I don't have to check, but it seems to me that after the fact, some people put their hand up and went, what is this?
Yeah.
How do we sell this? I remember one thing that Steve said when we were watching this, and I hate him for it because he's fucking right. You're watching the movie, and he said to me, there's a good story in here. And I went, you motherfucker, we can't stop now. Because I was about to call you, Rick, and I was going, let's do Collateral Damage. And we were going to jump from the frying pan into the fire, because apparently that's fucking bad as well. And funnily enough, Arnold's a firefighter in that. So mm-hmm. I don't think this is going to be a good episode. And I'm leaving this in the episode, because every time we do a bad movie, it seems to me that... I don't know. I don't even know if I should put the energy of raging at this.
This is how I'm going to tailor this episode. I'm going to go.
I'll come back. You go on and I'll jump in. I've got to take a piss, man. I'm telling you. I'll come back. You catch me up.
Seriously, this is how good this episode is.
It is. All right. I'm leaving the scene as well. I'm going to go take a piss and I'm going to have a smoke because I'm upset now.
He says something slightly different.
What does he say?
You know what it is. Come on.
Come on, say it.
Come on.
You've got to remember it, right? Come on.
No, Steve doesn't remember. He's buying fucking time. I can hear your mouse clicking as you ejected to look
I'm
for
not
it.
Clicking.
I'm clicking.
I'm trying to remember the exact line. I might be back.
Why not chuck that in there? The crew on set. Fuck me.
I'm coming back later.
I will return.
No, so you can go fuck yourself.
You might be back.
Oh my God. So, are we going to carry on and he's going to come back?
Yeah, of course we're going to carry on. Yeah, because I need to, let's get this episode done, yo.
Yo. I had to turn my camera off. I have technical difficulties today, so both yourself and Umbra sound like robots, and supposedly so do I. This is gonna be fun.
This is exactly what we need for an episode for a movie made in 2000s about the future. I'm guessing, did you watch I'm guessing you watch, because I know me and you find these videos and we have to sit down and watch them, but did you watch the featurette called The Future Is Coming?
Yeah, this is where I got the quote, the thing where it's 2015. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's dog shit.
Yeah, but like, I just love that they spent so long just talking about, you know, at this time we are cloning animals, we are cloning this and we're cloning that, and they spend more time talking about
the genome. Yeah, we're doing the human genome.
but it's like there's this whole section where I think it's for 4 or 5 minutes. They actually talk to real PhD people who are in the Missiplicity project about cloning animals, and there's a whole section on cloning animals in the 2000s period.
It's quite interesting. Obviously, we talk about Dolly and everything else, and what they were doing, and what the potential for that was, and it's highlighted in the movie, and they've obviously done a little bit of research for the movie, but they've based the entire premises of the movie on stuff which, you know, it's not going to be that. What have we got now?
Certain people would say the people who believe in conspiracy theories is that around, because by 2015, 70 countries have made it illegal to start doing human cloning processes. So the conspiracy nuts will be like, oh, this movie was like speaking the truths. And, you know, if it wasn't for the bannings, we would have had like, what do they call them? Like cartridge humans or whatever.
Yeah,
they're like a blank cartridge. The visuals are amazing, but shit.
Yeah, I think some of the special effects in this movie are really, really well done. Even when Michael Rooker gets his leg blown off, it's really well done. And the fact that he's hopping around with one missing leg just makes me fucking laugh every single time. But I'm not going to say about repets, because that's, you know, that's something which people would love in this world. The little Sadie, Sadie,
Cindy.
Was a repet.
Little Cindy.
Cindy, yeah.
Yeah.
Sadie was a repet. Cindy was the girl,
the doll, the mannequin, whatever the hell she was.
Oh my god, that was horrifyingly horrible.
Do you think they had an actress and they just put on a mask? Because I cannot find anything on Cindy.
Okay, so I believe this is done by the same guy who did the special effects for another Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, which was Get Your Ass to Mars.
Total Recall.
Yeah. So when you look at the special effects on the face, it kind of follows suit. It's the same kind of special effects. But yeah, I mean, when we look at the practical effects in this movie, they are very well done.
Mm.
But when we look at the 2000s, PlayStation graphics, my god.
Oh my god, the helicopters are awful. And they're such a main aspect.
I really want to talk about Michael Rooker's acting, standing on one leg going, "You shot my leg, my boots." It's fucking
it's great. We've already just mentioned that because you're away from the desk. But
you did?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh no, we were just talking about how, you know, he lost his leg, but actually it was quite good.
His boots, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but
he was all right. Yeah, he's all right. Yeah. He's all right. Yeah, yeah.
No, but like Steve was going on about how some of the special effects, as much as this film is dog shit, they put a lot of effort in this special effects.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that actually I can't find any production dates or whatever, but that they probably had this film ready. They wanted to release it like in 99. Or something like that.
Mm.
But they didn't realize that all of the special effects, especially the computer-generated stuff, was going to take forever. That's why I feel like the editing is akin to... And straight after I watched this, I kept watching it going like, why is this like CSI? You know, all the really quick, jumpy editing sessions.
Right? And then they stop. So there's like this movie is so disjointed because of it as well. Because as they are happening, they happen the first time, then the second time, the third time, and then I thought, okay, this is what we're in for. And by the time you then disappear, that's it. That doesn't happen anymore. You know, at one point, I really like this movie made a lot of damage, man. Because I don't like to watch something that I can watch a bad movie with Schwarzenegger and it's still entertaining. But this one was really this was hard for me. That's why I walked away from. Like I don't know. We're gonna release this episode. We will. But this was heartbreaking. This was heartbreakingly bad, and perhaps I'm still a Schwarzenegger fan because I didn't see this. Otherwise, that's it. He would be persona non grata in my book, man, because this is bad. And it was released in 2000, the millennium. You know, you expect this movie to...
The Willennium. Let's not forget it was the Willennium.
Oh, mate.
It's... I mean, even the, you know, like... you know the guy, Wiley? The guy...
Yeah,
so many times. Yeah, you might as well be Timmy from the fucking from South Park.
Yeah,
it's like something's keeps getting worse.
Well,
also, wait a second, the writing as well, because okay, you have the failsafe. That what's his name? It is the bad guy in Ghost. That actor, he plays the douchebag really well. But even in this, the lines that he was given were horrifyingly bad. I mean, towards the end, he looked like a horror version of Powder. Do you remember Powder?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
God, yeah.
Fucking terrible.
The actor we're talking about is Tony Goldwyn.
Tony Goldwyn, right?
He played Michael Drucker.
Yeah. Tony Goldwyn plays Michael Drucker, which is very close to Michael Rooker. I don't know. Like, even the... okay, calm down. All right. Wait, because there's so much bad that I'm finding it difficult to put my thoughts in order to discuss.
Well, okay, shall we?
The Uncanny Valley, when we looked at the fucking the Simpal, the doll.
Yeah.
I've got a boo-boo. Like, it's much more than a boo-boo, man. This movie will leave you scarred. That's the fucking problem here.
But when we look
Wiley, let me go back to Wiley. Okay, you want your factoid? You want to drop your factoid? You drop your factoid in a moment. When we look at Wiley, I kept looking at this guy going, if during the cloning process, somehow things went awry, it was a problem, all right? And you had Stephen Dorff and Mark McGrath from, what's the name of the band? What was the name of the band, Ricky?
Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray, the singer from that band, and Stephen Dorff. You fused them together, you would get Wiley. It was like a cookie cutter kind of carbon copy of what that guy was like. Like a skinny Guy Fieri. It's fucking horrific. And then Sarah Winter. Sarah Winter plays Talia, which is the assassin.
Yeah.
And it was the sequence with her. And I thought, oh my God, is this original or is it just bad? There's an entire sequence which kind of goes against trope as well. She's trying to kill Arnold. But then she ends up in the car with Arnold. And for a moment, it looked like a sequence from any other movie when Arnold is escaping the bad guys. But the bad guys... So I see what they were trying to do there. But it didn't work. It's a fucking disaster. It's like every bad guy in this is a pound store version of the two twins from the fucking Matrix.
Yeah.
Or a Timu version.
A Timu version. Jesus.
You know when you're on holiday somewhere exotic and in a store you find like an action figure? Yeah, the knockoff action figure. That's what this movie is. It's the knockoff action figure of Spider-Man or Batman that you find somewhere in a very sunny, beautiful place or whatever the fuck.
You mean Spider-Bat?
Spider-Bat, yeah, Spider-Bat. Or Spooderman. Spooderman.
Spooderman.
Yeah. Just unbelievable, okay. Mate.
So what we need to look at.
Has he talked about the guns, Ricky, while I was
No, we haven't talked about the
guns.
Okay.
But what I wanted to talk about is, like, they did get some things right. The flat screen TVs.
Don't fucking go down this path.
The interactive computerized refrigerators, because we were discussing
this. And we were like, oh, there's foreshadowing here, but then I didn't do the research. Don't give this movie too much credit. Yeah,
the self-driving vehicles, which started in 2018, so that's about on time to their 2015 timeline.
Okay,
but then you got aerial drones, which were featured in the background,
mm-hmm.
and automated phone systems, some other functional stuff that they were using.
I mean, technically, the AI, for example, the "I'm your lawyer," blah 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 blah. I am your psychiatrist. Which
perhaps it's something with your mother.
What I found really annoying about this film that really got under my skin was the multiple references to Blade Runner.
Like shoved down your throat kind of situation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The thought process that I fell into, fantasizing about running away from home just to escape this movie. And, there was another fantasy. What if Villeneuve directed The Sixth Day?
Yeah.
Because the reason we still have to get like a good movie about cloning, right? The opening of this movie has so much promise because it's marking a timeline, right? It's giving us some exposition of what this movie is about. In 1997, Dolly was cloned, and that's why they probably thought, oh, this movie's topical, right? Because it was released in 2000. So if the execution was... But then again, we had another movie that touched this theme and did it so much better, and that's Gattaca.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I know that it's not about cloning, but it was about identity and a dystopian future. So, and in fact, at one point I thought there was a reference to it because on some screens we get some passing kind of coding or whatever. And if you looked at the letters, it was GTCA or whatever. But because scrolling fast, I almost read Gattaca. And that's when I got distracted because all of a sudden Michael Rooker is looking at the screen with the word override is misspelled into override with one R.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Steve?
I do.
And I had to go back and I'm like, I think I just picked up a typo. And it wasn't just a little detail. No, it wasn't a little detail in the background. Michael Rooker is reacting to giant capital letters on a screen that spell override with one R. And nobody thought of going back. That's why I thought every bit of acting in this is one take. Everything they've done it once. It's because most of the budget went to special effects. It must have. And Arnold's paycheck, right?
Mm.
But there probably was a very different film in this because who was supposed to be in the main lead in this and turn it down due to scheduling?
Kevin Costner. Oh, fuck, okay.
Yeah,
Kevin Costner.
But not only that.
He must have turned it down, dude. He must have turned it down.
Not only that, Jack Nicholson was considered for Michael Drucker's role.
Yeah, but because Ironside did it before. Because Michael Rooker plays Michael Ironside in Total Recall.
Yeah,
like it's exactly the same character. They're in pursuit of the lead all the way through. There are parallels, man, to Total Recall with this one as well. Like is that what you want to say, Ricky?
No, I was going to say that Gene Hackman also turned down the role of Dr. Griffin, which was
Robert Duvall.
Duvall. Yep. Because he considered the script as lousy.
Yeah. Duvall plays a very similar character to the one that he played in Falling Down in this.
Duvall never turns up to a film and doesn't give 100%. That's what I learned from this film.
He
never turns up to a film and goes, you know what? I'm only going to be in like three scenes, so whatever, I don't care.
I'll choose through it, though.
He's perfect. He is doing exactly what he needs to do. And he's getting teary and he's getting emotional he's investing so much.
He's a fucking actor.
No.
Duvall.
No, he's not. He's not an actor. He's an actor.
Actor.
Yeah, he's an right. actor. You're right. You're right. 100%.
And he's so he's amazing in this film, but he's amazing in every film. So
you know what, true. Michael Rappaport was the reason why I said let's do this. He was, and I called you guys, and I went no. And I'll tell you something. I don't know if you follow Michael Rappaport on social media. I do. Hmm. He's got problems.
Oh yeah.
I keep following him because he's being very vocal about Israel because he's Jewish as well. But he does it in a way, and I've got Jewish friends, man, that are from Israel. So I don't take any sides. I don't want to talk about such a complex matter. But he doesn't give a fuck, and he's really outspoken, and it's extreme because it's not. This is a situation that is so delicate that it requires some kind of balanced approach. And I understand that it's easier said than done if you're not in it.
So not Michael Rappaport.
But I kept thinking of his current persona while watching this, and it kind of ruined it. So even seeing him with his fly undone, as he's about to fuck his old girlfriend, with his repat. Have you guys talked about fucking repat?
Oh, no, we haven't. Yeah. But can I just say... You reminded me of his virtual girlfriend when Arnie falls into the sea and he gets the thing on his head and the look on his face of like, aha, I don't care if Michael Rappaport is standing right there, I can get it on.
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck? This movie's like perverted, mate. There's no moral compass here. But even Arnold trying to... like channel some kind of emotions, the feelings of jealousy or possessiveness or whatever the fuck it is here. And also, our words need to go to one of the horniest wives, on-screen wives. She's on all the time. She's on all the time. That's great. That's absolutely great.
You can imagine the conversation she had as they were like putting the blindfold on her in that later scene and tied up. She's like, ooh.
Yeah, what was her name? The name of the actress?
She is
also a great actress,
Wendy Crewson.
Plays Natalie
Catherine,
and she's commendable. Her acting is fine in this, and also they have a very happy marriage, man. They have a very happy marriage, and
needs to get some.
Dude, my favorite part of this movie was the conversation that they have over the screen, which, by the way, another bit of foreshadowing from. You know, when it comes down to the tech, it's, you know, they've done some stuff they've done right. But this movie came out of the inception of all this technology. So it's okay. It's not, you know, we're not talking the level of foreshadowing like Roddenberry gave us with Star Trek, you know, because that's full on. But at the same time, it is commendable, right? Whatever we got from this. Again, I'm trying to save this piece of shit. But anyway, there's the bit when they're talking... She gives him the task of solving this problem. It's two parents. You got kids, Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
The kid is in this future in which technically you can't apply current morality, but you know, by this, because the very fabric of society changes as we progress through the decades, right? So if there's no need to do something, humans are driven by need, not by want. They're driven by need. We're fucking animals. So the idea is that you need to grasp what it is to be human if it's required for you to do so, right? So understanding what death is in a world that technically is moving towards not having that as part of the human experience, because that's what this movie is about, then you don't really need to understand that due to comfort. And that conversation I liked because he turns around to her and he goes, no, I don't want to do this. He does not just because he's being like there's mistrust on his part, and that technically that's where the script was going. You know, he drives an old car. He doesn't really like technology. And that's, you know, it's a trope. By now, that's a trope. Okay, someone holding on to these things from the past. Because they make you feel more human. I agree with that as well. I try to live my life the same way. But that conversation was believable. And the fact that he's coming back home, he's going back home to find that, you know, he's been replaced by what he thinks is his clone, to have an argument. He's going home, cocked up. He's going in, going, why have you done this? Why have you... Because she goes out of her way to clone the dog without telling him, right? Mm-hmm. He was disagreeing with it. And that's when I did the equivalent of Steve going, while we're watching Loaded Weapon, oh, you can't do that. I was bringing it like, yeah, of course. Of course they're going to have a discussion now when he gets hurt. Because this is a thing that a couple should discuss together, right? So, you know, it's when a partner kind of, not steps out of line, but you if we have a conversation and you go around the other person, that's not right. That's not a relationship. That's, I mean, it is a relationship, but that's something that needs to be rectified.
Mm.
It doesn't matter which party does it. It's because, you know, you make these big decisions together.
Yeah.
It's like in Face Off, we laughed. It was laughable to have John Travolta going back home. And all of a sudden, he goes back home with a like it's adoption, man.
Yeah,
he didn't discuss anything.
I have this little boy with me.
Yeah, this is yours now. Like, what the fuck?
We're gonna talk about work. I'm going to work.
That's right. That's right. So you're gonna repat. We're gonna talk about that. All right. And he's going home, and then I like that bit. Okay, but then obviously everything was destroyed by the entire interaction with the doll.
No, oh, God.
Arnold is frustrated by this new technology, doesn't understand, and he asks a taxi driver from Eastern Europe who's a million years old. He goes, do you know how to switch off this thing? And the guy knows.
The guy knows. The dude knows. The dude abides. Yeah. The dude abides. Now, let's play a little game, okay?
Unlike this fucking movie?
We all dislike the film. We can hear it in our voices.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say some films that got released the same year as this film, and we're just going to say that better or dog shit, depending on how we compare it to this film. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm only going to go through 10. Don't worry. I'm not going to do loads. But I found a list of the worst films of 2000s. There's about 50 of them. I'm not going to do 50. But guess what? The Sixth Day does not appear on this list. So we're going to say...
it's a dog shit list. So down. Number to the list that you picked.
But we're going to say whether we think these films are better or dog shit compared to this film. So first
of
all...
Same genre?
No. I'm just going to pick randomly. So the first one, easy, Battlefield Earth.
No, dog shit.
Dog shit. There we go. Right. That's the easy one.
Wait a second. Dog shit, but is it worse than this?
Well, it is come on. Worse than
this. It's debatable, mate.
Oh,
that's
mate.
Debatable. No, yeah. No. When was the last time you watched it?
You need to understand what I mean here. It means this is so fucking bad. So fucking bad that a Scientology fucking movie with Forest Whitaker and John Travolta, two people that were at the top of the fucking game. I need to calm down. I had too much caffeine today, man. I'm telling you. I did. I'm sorry to our listeners. I apologize. This is a game. We're playing a game.
We're playing a game. And it's meant to be quick.
I need to relax. You go. Sorry.
No, but if that's how you're reacting to Battlefield Earth, we have to put it on the schedule.
Oh, God.
Anyway, the next one. All right, next one. Did you watch The Skulls with Joshua Jackson and Paul Walker?
No.
Okay.
Is that the one where it's?
It's at a university.
I've seen
it. Are you gonna die during this prequel? Are you having a stroke?
I'm just. It's basically a secret society in a university.
I've seen it. Yeah, you piece of shit for bringing this back.
Yeah.
I can't remember the movie, but I remember it.
Yeah. It's an Illuminati thread running through a secret society.
Yeah. So dog shit? We're calling that dog shit? Dog shit. All right.
Dog shit, yeah.
Next one. Dungeons and Dragons, the one with Jeremy Irons.
Oh, it's dog shit, but I love it.
But is it worse than this? That's the question.
Is it worse than this?
Do we have to use this list as a blueprint for the movies that we're going to do this year? I don't understand. For our listeners, I got a message from Ricky on our group going, it seems to me that the analytics are telling us that we need to... I don't know why you sound like this now, but the analytics are telling us that now we need to do dog shit movies because it's better reach.
Hi!
Hi about this lack of podcast problems. Anyway, okay, go to the next one. Mate.
Next one, Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2.
I kind of like that.
I would say. You see, I'd give that a positive. I would say
a positive.
That was better than this one.
You're giving a positive to a movie. I wanted my. The only time I wanted it's my better money
than
back.
This movie.
It's better than this movie.
I think that's debatable.
Okay, fair. Can we have another
third answer, which is debatable? Can we do
debatable.
That?
Debatable. Yeah, yeah. Let's have debatable. That. Debatable. Just to make this faster. Okay. Red Planet with Val Kilmer, Carrie-Anne Moss, Tom
better.
Sizemore.
It's better.
Better.
Yep. Okay. Dracula 2000.
Oh, my internet.
That's going on to territory of so bad it's good. Almost.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, debatable.
Dude, Where's My Car?
Oh, way better.
Way better.
Dude,
yeah.
What is your saying?
Okay.
Debatable.
The Beach.
We're going to do that movie. Are we put on the schedule. We're going to do Dude, Where's My Car?
I love that.
And then?
I would love that. If there was some listener out there who was like creating a like Excel sheet saying they're going to put it on the schedule, quick, put the because we
probably
don't give
George,
it.
Probably
we don't.
George Crowder, yeah.
The Beach. Oh, that's debatable. I'm going to say that's debatable.
I've never watched it.
It's debatable, yeah. It's debatable.
Oh, okay. All right. It's debatable. That's debatable. Yeah. Little Nicky. Oh, is Little Nicky worse or better than this?
Because we are going into so bad it's good. And the more time passes, the more this stuff is somehow aging to be better than when it was released. Little Nicky, when it was released, was fucking awful. But after this movie, I think everything's going to be better. I think you know what? The dystopian nature of this movie is it projects a better future in the real world. I feel like whatever I watch now will be... Go on.
I've got three
so
more.
Go deep, okay.
You know I've got what? Three more.
No.
I've got three more.
Maybe. What?
Number one, I think is better. Ready to Rumble.
I fuck it. Are you, mate? No, that's good. That's
yeah,
a
but
good
it's,
comedy.
This is in the top 50, like top worst 50 movies of 2000.
Mate,
Ready to
and
Rumble.
You're saying that as a? Can I tell our listeners that you're obsessed with wrestling? Okay,
yeah, I'm obsessed with wrestling.
Well, it's a fetishistic approach to it towards it.
I mean, I'll admit that.
That's fine. And you're going to put the kids through it as well. So
yeah,
it's
fine.
It's fine. Yeah. Now, Ready to Rumble is it plays on. It's tongue in cheek. It's taking a stab at the fact that wrestling isn't real, which you know, it's a funny movie and it's got David Arquette in it. What else do you want? What else do you want? What else do you need?
Exactly. Yeah. And also it's WCW wrestlers throughout the movie, which is great. Reindeer Games, also known as another name for it, but with Ben Affleck.
That's actually a good movie with Ben Affleck.
It's one of the top.
Sorry, yes. What is it? Okay, so this list is not a list of bad movies. This movie's from 2000, right? Around
no,
that
no,
period.
No. This is like the
worst
top
movies.
49, 50 worst movies of 2000, according to Metascore.
Games is in worst movies?
Yeah, it is. And then finally, last one, Hollow Man, which I love. So
are
that's
you
better.
Are you kidding me? Hollow Man
is
fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. You can stop now. That's
yeah,
it.
But all, what I'm saying is all these films are by Metascore or whatever are considered worse than this film.
That's
now,
bizarre.
I probably half of those I would agree with, but the other half I'm like, maybe not.
Can I tell you something? It seems to me that, you know, we didn't really talk about this, but we're not going to do that because we're on the 49-minute mark, listeners. And I got to tell you, you like it. You like it when we go short. So we're going to go short. But before we do that, Ricky, can you find a 10 out of 10 on IMDb for this movie?
Well, first of all.
You did already.
First of all.
You did already. Now, what have we got?
Let me just. This is my 10 out of 10. Great movie. Loved it.
That's it?
Oh my god! This guy said once of the best movies I've ever seen.
Okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is amazing. Thank you, Stormpill 67758, April 10th, 2021.
Again, another prick that just couldn't let Stormpill go. If there's how many 700 people that picked this fucking 777 what?
This number? One. The number was, sorry, let me just find it again because I just lost it.
His username.
67758. So 67,758.
There's
I've got
a
feeling.
Stormpeer before you, you motherfucker.
I've got a feeling it's probably got something more to do with his mobile phone.
Maybe. Whatever, man. Whatever.
I can't remember my username. I'll just put the last 5 digits of my mobile phone in as well. All right.
Horrific. Horrific.
And I'm going to do one more 10 out of 10. Better than Total Recall. So thank you very much.
That's a joke. What's his name?
It's Kenan Draff. It might be his real name. Kenan Draff. November 18th, 2000.
Is that when he died?
I hope so. Definitely. I've got to read the first sentence. Definitely right. Much better than Total Recall because, and he spelled because wrong, of the theme regarding man's mortality.
Dude, I'm a scuba diver, okay? And I got to say, this guy went much deeper than I could ever go. Unbelievable. This movie's a fucking car crash, dude. This movie's a helicopter with thrusters.
Oh my god. That's what this is. I was going to say, you know the bit where the helicopter stalls and he sticks on the thrusters and he still clears the building?
Oh yeah.
Do you remember playing any of those Tomcat games on, like, either the Mega Drive or Genesis for our American listeners, or even on, like, the Super Nintendo, or any of these ones where you played those army?
Dude. It reminded me of Wipeout. The vehicles in Wipeout. It's a mixture between that
No. I mean earlier than that. So, like...
Okay, like I'm going to say this, because can you guys remember the cartoon Mask?
Yeah,
they had the helicopter, absolutely, which turned into a jet...
Yes.
Wasn't that like a spin-off of G.I. Joe?
No, not quite.
No, it may have been the same animators, same animation studios.
Well, I think it was the same studio that did Transformers.
Okay.
Anyway, it's like a task, like a military group of some kind, right? That's what it was. Yeah. I can't remember exactly, but I remember the logo. I remember that it looked like one of the bad guys, one of the Cobra, whatever the fuck from G.I. Joe. Yeah. I don't know why I'm making that. Unless, do you want to go on about this without checking? Because I'm pretty sure it could have been like a spin-off of G.I. Joe.
I wanted to talk about that one scene.
What does MASS stand for? It was a military armed whatever the... No?
Oh, why are we going down this avenue? All right, MASS.
You mentioned it.
TV? No, I didn't. TV show.
No, I did.
Hold on. Here we go. MASS TV show. Here we go. TV series. Action figures. MASS.
Mobile armored.
Strike command.
Strike command. Yeah.
And command strike spelled command. Wrong.
Yeah.
And they were against
with a K.
And then they were against the terrorist organization Venom, which stood for Vicious Evil Network of Mayhem. So they actually included
like G.I. Joe.
Yeah, it was pretty much.
But it's not.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. But not so, what I was going to say.
Which weren't Transformers. Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
So I remember playing these... flight simulators where you would play as like US jet fighters, and I remember like you'd a lot of it would be like try and land on the cruiser, like F-22 intercepted games like that, where
you're
they
not
were
talking
combat
about burnout, are you?
No, maybe, but basically
it was a coin op as well.
There was
a burnout. They were behind the fighter jet.
After burner. There was also things like burnout
was a
driving
great arcade game for the Xbox. That was burnout. Sorry, it's after burner. Yeah. Shame on me. Yeah. Sorry.
And then, but there was things like MiG-29 fighter pilot and things like that. Yeah. But I remember when you stalled, it was game over. There was no way you could pull out of a stall, because if you stalled on a Mega Drive Genesis game or on a Super Nintendo game and you were playing a jet fighter game, you're done. There's no way of pulling out of it.
I know, but that would be because you put... Oh my God, we're bringing plausibility to this, you mother. None of us know anything about aerodynamics or aviation in general, but fucking let's do it. Now, this vehicle is a helicopter mainly, right? And it's used... Yeah. The rotor engages when you take off, all right? So the thrusters are something that you use when you're either moving forward or whenever it goes from helicopter to plane mode, let's say.
Yeah.
So technically, this is the only plausible thing that has happened in the movie is the fact that the thrusters engage when the rotor is stalling because you just started using them. So the idea is that when you stall, you're pushing the... And again, I know nothing about aviation, but it seems to me that the stalling process happens because you put too much strain on the engines and physics are working against you, so the engine stalls, right?
So why couldn't I do this in my Genesis game?
Because your Genesis game had a vehicle that is much more sensical than this fucking thing. This is like a hybrid, you know, for which, by the way, we didn't talk about the unfortunate name of a company, this recreational extreme sports taxi service.
Yeah.
Which, what was it called? Do you remember the name of the company? Because it's like a charter pilot. That's what they are. They're charter pilots for people that have enough money to go and do crazy shit. All right? Because you can still get... Apparently, Rappaport needed a fucking holographic girlfriend because his life is... It's so fucking sad. He had a beautiful condo. He's a pilot. If a fuck... You can't get a partner? How fucking uninteresting are you, you fucking... And calm down.
What's it?
And by the way, the actress that plays as holographic girlfriend...
Double Extreme?
Is that the chick from Showgirls?
No, it's not her.
Because it looked like her at one point. She looked like her.
But she is actually from Bold and the Beautiful and lots of daytime TV shows like that. So she's, you know, perfect for looking gorgeous whenever she needs to. So
Rodney Roland, the chick that plays... I'm going to start using these terms now. Chick. Because I have to disrespect every element of this movie. Because it did that to me. It shot into... This movie shot into my eyes for... 124 minutes, and I allowed it to happen. I allowed it, which, by the way, Steve, you must have a fetish because you watched this. You watched it. You watched it like Rappaport watching Arnold fuck Arnold's wife. You watched this, and you did nothing. Okay, I didn't reach out for the controller and stop this. We should have just texted Ricky, like, message.
You said, look.
Sorry, we're going back to 2000 now. I'm doing this with a Nokia 9 or whatever the fuck.
4, 5, 4, 4, 8. Oh, I've run out of characters.
You know what? If I raged enough that I was going to throw my mobile against something, if it was the 2000s, it would have just come apart. It would have exploded in 1,000 pieces, and I would have put it back together. Do you remember there was indestructible Nokias?
Yep.
That you could seriously do that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're living an age that if you drop your phone, it's all over. Done. It's destroyed.
Because it's one big screen.
You know? Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, you know what? Actually, we're being way too negative about this film. And you're right, we haven't talked about this film properly. So I'm going to say, like a teacher, two positives, one negative. Everybody, two positives, one negative about this film. Who wants to start?
I think you should, because this is your, you know.
All right, positive number one.
This is unbelievable, man. Let's play your game, mate. We can't play the game. We can't play that.
No, we can.
You wanna? Okay.
We can. Right. We can. Positive number one.
Did you say one positive, two negatives?
Let's switch it that way. Let's do it that way because I said two positive, one negative, and I was like, I can't do two. Okay. I definitely can't do it. So let's do one positive. My one positive for this film is the fact that I really enjoyed the puppetry or the special effects around all of the blanks that were in the water held up things. I mean, come on, they didn't really name them, like, what, cells or tanks? Okay. I don't know. They were just hanging there. My two negatives, and I've got loads of them. Number one, who cares about his family? Like, after about, like, 20 minutes, I was like, who cares? Like, I don't care. Even when they were kidnapped, I was sort of like, you know what? You probably can just
no sense of threat
move on.
Whatsoever.
Kids, go on. And number two was Terry Crews was... so underutilized that when
it was his first acting role, dude.
But when Michael Rooker...
film appearance.
Yeah. Mm. When Michael Rooker says, we've all died like once or twice, I was like, actually, no. Wiley or whatever his name, he's died a lot. Yeah. He has died a lot by that point in the film. And nobody else really has. It's like, they. It feels like they're picking on him so much.
They are. Yeah. There's the bit when he's not feeling well. Because there's something seriously wrong inside his body. And they're just going, you stay out here, you get some fresh air. Yeah.
Get some fresh air. And get your neck cracked. It's coming. But yeah, the fact that
you can. Yeah. Have you finished with your...
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, the fact that his character... actually verbally says that, like, you know, I haven't died. I've died so much. And everyone's like, we all die. And it's like, no, you haven't. Yeah. No, you haven't. Everybody else is actually quite fine. All okay. right, move on.
My positive. People got paid to make this movie.
As in, there wasn't a scandal about the entire crew of the worth and it's not getting paid?
Okay, and...
Are you talking about negative? Children
people
were
got
fed.
Paid to make this movie? Yeah.
Okay, that's a positive. Yes,
and it's also a negative.
Yes.
What's your second negative?
My second negative is the script.
What was your first negative?
That people got paid for this movie.
Oh, I thought that was a positive.
I thought it was a positive.
People got paid. That's what people I saw as a thing. It's like, yeah.
But also the other side of it, which is people got paid to make this movie.
So the positive is people got paid. And the negative is people got paid.
People got paid.
okay, sorry, I'm struggling to get my head around anything, even simple concepts. Okay. Oh my god! Anyway,
the other negative.
The other negative was the script. That's
the script.
Fuck me. Okay, you're done.
I'm done.
Okay,
I was completely brutally honest with that one.
Mm. The positive of this movie is that I got to watch it in my late 40s, and I like to think that as much as you guys are going to think this is bullshit, but I'm a much more tolerant person than I used to be. And I swear, that's the positive. Because
you did smash the screen.
Well, like Arnold, right? Making his escape. Yep. I took too much acid. I broke my television trying to escape this fucking movie. And the negatives, I mean... Sorry, let me finish on the positive. So I mean it. And I'm not trying to be comedic here. Like, if I watched this years ago, it would have been another Prometheus on first watch. Like, and I wouldn't have been able to hack it. But now I'm kind of... learning how to just sweat the small things. You know what I mean? Like, this is not... And as I say these words, I'm convincing myself. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... I am. So, you know, something positive has come out of this, which is that tolerance that I'm trying to cultivate. It's coming along. Okay?
Good for you.
Yeah. See? Growth.
Well,
Growth.
Now,
the negatives. This is... And this is a big claim, okay? This is now, because it maybe it's fresh in my memory, but this is one of, and let's say there's only 10 movies on that list, but this is like number one, it ranks at number one right now. See, it sounds like an outrageous claim. This is one of, if not the worst movie I've ever seen from beginning to end. Do you understand? Because I've seen a lot of pieces of shit that I fucking ejected, man. Not in a theater. The only time I walked out of a theater was a movie called, I think it's called Corky Romano with Chris Catton. And I went to watch it simply on the stock gained by Night of the Roxbury. Because Night of the Roxbury was a year before or whatever. And I actually went to watch that with a friend and I had to apologize profusely. And I'm pretty sure that taking her to watch this fucking movie was a downfall of that friendship. But fuck it. All right? Real friends, right? Stay with you through the Corky Romanos and the fucking 6 day.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's the only wishful thinking needs to go into this, because just like the title of this movie, it hasn't been 6 days yet. And I like to think that in 6 days, I will be able, in our current times, to somehow sync chord to a time before we watch this. And the anger would just fade completely, because I would have no recollection of watching it. It's fucking atrocious. The second negative is connected to the fact that this is, you know, was a bad experience. It kind of tarnishes Arnold for me a little bit. You know, it really does, because it's, I don't even, like, I've seen most of his body of work, if not all of it, and this has to be a number one. This is the worst movie Arnold has ever starred in. So that's my negative. The second negative.
Okay.
I'm fine, like, articulating, like, a simple sentence is becoming difficult today, and the reason why is because I'm so upset that I'm almost speechless, but obviously we're recording a podcast, so I need to talk, and I'm confused. It's confusing. It is, man.
Come on.
You mentioned the composer. Do you remember
that's a big fucking word. The guy, Trevor Rabin, but I heard this name before. It sounds like...
Yes, yeah. Because... Yeah. Eraser, you remember that song?
Oh my god, okay.
In Eraser, he is from Yes, and he did that song in Eraser, that terrible, terrible song in Eraser, well, and he is the composer of that. But on top of that, do you remember you were saying there was a beat that was very Prodigy X and all esque?
Oh, the way to the movie, there's this break,
a break beat, So, there's a song in this. Oh, or a couple of songs in this by Cursor. Yeah, yeah, there's so the band was called Cursor, and it's spelt with a H, so it's terrible straight away.
Okay.
But the composer of that of those songs, those very 2000s new metal-y kind of songs, but not quite, he was part of a video game. He was a co-composer of Bloodborne.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm, wow. Yeah. I couldn't hear any of that on this soundtrack, but, you know.
Me neither.
People grow.
Yeah. Oh, my. People move on.
Yeah.
15 years later.
Really had this feeling of, you know, like knockoff. It just, this movie is the embodiment of not, like, you know, not only the action figure you bought on holiday, or you looked at, sorry, while walking, you know, past trashy shops, you know, it also has that, like, real, like, AliExpress Timu kind of feeling from beginning to end. Even the guy that plays Trip, he looked like Timu's Liv Schreiber, Schreiber,
yeah,
that's his name,
yeah, Liv Schreiber.
Everyone sounds like Schreiber. Like a spastic Sean Connery right now. Can you do it again?
No.
No,
you've made me Liv self-conscious Schreiber. Liv Schreiber.
Yeah, he looked like Timu's Liv Schreiber. And Sarah Winter, again, we were talking about her earlier. It just looked like, you know, and I don't mean to put, actually I will, but what was the name of the actor, female actor that was in Species?
Or what was the Natasha Henrich.
There you go. It reminded me of that kind of, you know, and also, what was the name of the actress that plays the Terminator, the female Terminator, in Terminator 3?
Salvation? Not Salvation. Oh, my
no.
God.
No.
Rise of the Machines. Rise of the Machines.
Is it Rise of the Machines?
Yeah.
Whatever. Which, by the way, that movie is much more entertaining than I remember it to be. I rewatched it recently, and again, suffers from this as well. That kind of 2000, like, aesthetic.
Christina Loken?
Yeah, Christina Loken. There you go. So, Sarah Winter reminds me of, I don't know how to articulate this, but that's a sense that I got. Again, everyone looks like a knockoff of a bigger star. And then in the midst of all of this, you have Robert Duvall and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Anyway, look, I don't even want to fucking talk about this anymore. I really don't.
And
this is
going
to be the worst episode of the show. To our listeners, whatever you do, do not bother to watch this movie. We made a mistake, but we committed to releasing this episode. And it's the only time in which we... can I speak for all of us?
Yep, go ahead.
Collect,
sure.
Ricky, collectively, we made a mistake. I made a mistake. It was my fucking peak. Collateral damage was my peak. And collateral damage cannot be worse than this, can it? Can it?
I mean, it could be.
No, because we're going to have to do that at some point.
Is it Battlefield Earth bad? I mean...
Oh, my God.
Because I think that's on the schedule as well.
Is that going to be the shit mark? Not the watermark. It's going to be the shit stain. The nudge
we've
on
got
the
a,
wall.
Look, I mean, I really enjoyed that we've done the 6 day, and I'll tell you why. Because this film really was one of those films that is a mark now. There's got to be films worse than this. I know there's films worse than this, but this is the fun of the podcast, right?
I guess it
that
is.
That we're finding the best and the worst.
This is the worst to date.
This is probably the worst. I'm just trying to think back through all of them. Yeah, no, to date, this is probably the worst.
This makes Mystery Man look like a walk in the park now. Yeah, yeah. Because Mystery Man, sorry, what did you say, Steve?
With Mystery Man, weirdly enough, it was the worst. Now this has overshot it tremendously to being the absolute dog shit pile.
And I
know,
right?
Mystery Man suffered from nostalgia goggles because we liked it when we watched it the first time. This one, I don't know. I'm lucky enough because you guys have watched it before me. Like I told you,
It was awful when I first watched it.
Oh, well, there you go. So it's a different thing. It's a different thing. This stands on its own. That's it. This is the notch on the wall. Okay,
which is funny. Because last week. Okay, let's put this in perspective. Mystery Men, we gave a really low score to. Last week, we gave Loaded Weapon a really bad score. Loaded Weapon, I feel like, has been pushed up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. But now, I have a game. What did you say, Steve?
A notch.
Yeah. I want you to do something. Have you got a pen or a pencil handy?
No.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Don't reveal it to the camera. I want you to write down your rating.
Oh, nice.
Because if we have another instance in which we're all in agreement here.
Well, I think you're not going to be happy with my rating because I remember that we gave a 3.5 for Loaded Weapon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You're talking too much, man. Just write it down.
All right. I've written my rating down. I feel like it should have been thicker. I'm going to make it thicker. That's what she said. You best keep that in the episode. Okay.
I wrote down my rating.
I've got it.
Yep. You're gonna have to show it to the camera. And
yeah,
we'll say it. Yeah.
All right. Who's going first with the rating? I think Steve should go first.
Yep.
Okay. That is my rating.
Say it out loud.
A single digit.
Yeah. To our listeners, Steve forgot that there's no video element to this. So he expected you to. The fuck, man? It's a one. It's a categorical one. It's a one.
Yep. It's a one.
Yes.
Any reason? Or do you just want to leave it out?
It's a one what?
It's a one replacement blank.
Sorry.
Replacement blank.
Did you get that? Okay. Wow. Yeah. So like a blank clone.
Yeah, okay. One blank clone. Yeah.
One blank clone. There you go. It's a better title for a movie. There you go.
Okay. So
can I go second? Because if you leave me last, then I'll go on another rant rant, and I don't want to do that. This was difficult, man. Talking about this movie today was a tragedy. My rating is a 2. It's a 2 Arnold.
2 Arnolds.
2 Arnolds.
2 Arnolds.
Yeah. Watching.
So fucking
Watching this movie from behind the couch. Watching this movie from behind the couch, through the window, into the neighbor's house. Unbelievable, mate. Unbelievable. Which, by the way, sorry, let's go back to the beginning of this movie. There's one thing. No. They have fucking neighbors, right? They have neighbors.
Yeah.
There's
if the movie makes so little sense that there's technically you shouldn't revisit that house after what happens in that entire neighborhood. They drive, they smash somebody's house, whatever. Then everything goes back to normal. And he goes back to... It's just...
To Arnold's. To Arnold's. That's my rating.
Okay. Well, I'm going to just say that what is really telling about this film, and I will take the role of who's a little bit too verbose giving a rating. So what's telling...
No, please do it, because you're not raging enough not to be able to express yourself. And at the moment, that's where I am. So
what is really telling about this film is that this is an Arnold Schwarzenegger film, and we did not talk about any action sequences. We did not talk about any real one-liners. And that proves to me that this Arnold film fell so short. There was even the odd one-liner where you're like, oh, that'd be really funny. But you get to those one-liners and you are bored. You are not in this film and you want this to end so quickly. The fact that it's almost 2 hours, like, I'm not including the credits. I stopped just before the credits because I couldn't take it anymore. It's almost 2 hours of just being bored. So I'm holding this up. That was mine. 2.2. Most of that 2.2 is going to Robert Duvall. And I'm going to say 2.2, go to sleep, Cindy's.
Oh my God.
I feel like what we should really now mark this as is this is another landmark moment in Screen Divers history, because we have found the one film that we all agree on is the worst film we've seen so far as part of this podcast.
Agreed.
And on that note, this was Umba.
This is Steve.
This is Ricky. Take it.